Okay, so it's great to be here in Laval. We talked about it a little earlier. It was such a terrific event last night and this morning, as some of you mentioned. The fans really made it special, the fans and the players last night. There's great energy in the building. You guys have seen it all year long with the regular season games here. And the players were engaged. They were competitive. And it was just a really good showcase for the AHL. I'm really looking forward tonight. I hope we get the same type of competitiveness from our players, and we'll put on a good show. We're as you guys know, we're across North America on TSN and NHL Network, and it can be a really positive exposure for our league and our brand. I'd be remiss if I didn't thank the Rocket staff for all the work they've done. We've waited 2 years. Everybody's been patient. We had to cancel it, I think, 6 weeks before the event last year because we couldn't get it done. And it was worth the wait, for sure. So Sebastian Vaillant, John Sedgwick, the whole Rocket staff have really exceeded expectations. As you most of you know, I got the job July 1, 2020, in the middle of COVID. And it's been a tough 2.5 years. The first year, I was very proud of our league. We got on the ice for a partial season. When I compare it to something like minor league baseball missed a whole season. They didn't play at all in 2020. And I was so proud of the fact that our ownership, with a lot of NHL support, NHL team support, got our players on the ice. It wasn't great, no playoffs or no Calder Cup, but we did get a semblance of a year in. Last year, we were rolling along and we managed to get a full season in. We did have a tough period starting about US Thanksgiving till about now, maybe just before now, when COVID hit us hard. It hit everybody hard. And it seemed like I was going in the office every morning and we were getting calls, and the first 2 hours of the day were, okay, who can play tomorrow and who's not gonna be able to play and how are we gonna rearrange the games? But with the cooperation of the players, we extended the season by a week. That allowed us to play the full year. And the cooperation of our teams, you guys know how important weekend days to our team. So a lot of teams would lose a Saturday night, they'd have to play a Wednesday night at home, and that's just not the same in our league. And everybody cooperated, everybody worked together, and we managed to get a full season in. This season, we are trending extremely well. You can look at any metric. It's going to be a record revenue year for the American Hockey League. Whether it's total ticket revenue, we're going to really smash that record. But we also have a 32nd franchise, which we've never had before. So when you look at total ticket revenue, it's not completely fair because you're adding another team. But if you look at average ticket revenue per game, average ticket revenue per team, corporate revenue, we're hitting it out of the park. So the league has come back so strong from the last 2 years, and we just want to keep growing it and make it the best we can make it. Some of the things I touch on for you, when I first got the job, we had a mixed schedule where teams were playing a different amount of games. And one of my goals coming into this was to try and unify the schedule. And it just so happened, I didn't think it was going to happen as quickly as it did, but there was an opportunity there. Our teams came together. And now this year, for the first year, everyone's playing 72 games, which is really important for our league. I couldn't think of another league of our stature that was playing different amount of games. I thought it was confusing for our fans, confusing in the standings, not fair to the players. When you're giving individual awards and somebody's played 68 games or somebody's played 76 games, that has an effect. I just thought it wasn't a good look for our league. One of the goals was to get to a unified schedule. So this year we got to 72 games. Last year, we also expanded our playoffs that some of you would have noticed. I was here for, I bet you, 4 or 5 playoff games, and the atmosphere was electric. It was a pleasure to be here, and it was a really successful playoff year last year. And the reason that we went to the expanded playoffs is the message we got from a lot of our NHL partners was they wanted their prospects playing in more meaningful games at the end of the year. And we really accomplished that, whether it was the playoff races, your division, Laval's division last year. I remember going to the last weekend. I think the seating was all over the place, like in the last, and I think Rochester made the playoffs on the last day of the season. So it worked. We had a good playoff. We're going to keep monitoring it, see if it's going to work again. But because you do have to, you know, bunch a lot of games into a very tight time frame, and it can be a challenge for our teams with dates or whatever. But it worked last year. We've revised our player discipline process. We've got NHL support in that. We use NHL player safety. I don't know if you know that, but we have a couple members there here at this event. So we're now able to streamline our process. Haley Moore, our vice president of hockey operations, gets more input, and we modeled it after the NHL process way, and then Haley makes a decision. And I don't know how many of you knew, but in the past, we were not able to suspend the next day. So if a player did something on a Friday night and the teams were playing again on a Saturday night, we were not able to suspend because the teams had 24 hours to submit the request. And we don't automatically review very much in our league, unlike the NHL. So now there is a streamlined process. If something happens in Laval on Friday night against the Toronto Marlies and they're playing again the next afternoon, there is a process for us to look at it and get the decision rendered before the game. So our process is better. Our process is streamlined, more efficient, and our teams really like it. They don't always agree with our decisions, obviously, but the teams appreciate the effort. Talk a little bit about diversity and inclusion. We've got an initiative going on here at this event. We have a mentorship program for two female athletic therapists. They're working with our athletic therapist staffs here in Laval, and we want to expand this program. It's a great experience for them. They get to come in, they get to learn, they meet people, they network in the business, and we just want to keep expanding the opportunities for people like that. This was our first go at it, and hopefully at each All-Star event it'll keep growing, and we'll have more people. Maybe it's coaches, maybe it's equipment managers, who knows, maybe it's referees, who knows what it is. It's something that we're really committed to. We started league-wide the Respect Training Group, Respect Group Training, which is led by Sheldon Kenny, who's many of you are probably familiar with, and he's helped our league and a lot of other leagues try and teach our players, staff, whatever, about respect in the workplace. So I'd tell you that our league is very healthy. It's stable. We've got stable ownerships. We have 21 owned NHL teams. So NHL owned 21 teams in the American League, 11 independently owned. I'm not expecting any movement in terms of markets. We're stable. We had Stockton moving to Calgary last year, and I think that's working out very well for the Flames. So we're in a really good place, and we've got to keep working at it and keep growing it. And, our calling card is development. That's what we do. That's what we do the best, whether it's officials, coaches, trainers, players, obviously, executive staff. That's our calling card, and that's what we focus on, and that's what we hang our hat on. So, and we're doing that. You guys know all the stats. You look at NHL roster, 88-90% of the players came through our league, and we're going to keep pounding that drum. So I'm happy to take any questions. Yes?
Yeah. How has inflation impacted your league, and are your teams looking to raise prices to compensate for it?
Yeah, well, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. That will be an individual team-by-team decision. I can tell you that I hear about escalating expenses all the time, particularly travel expenses for our teams. That's a big number for our teams, especially as when I first joined the American League, we were a Northeast league with about 16 or 18 teams in the Northeast United States and Atlantic Canada. Now we're, you guys know where we are. We're across the US and we're in five provinces in Canada. I hear about travel costs all the time, and we try and work the schedule. You guys know that's why we don't play every team. In every place, teams just can't afford to do it. So it's a concern, but as far as whether it's going to impact tickets, that'll be a team-by-team decision. Yes?
Well, Jeff, I know you can't comment to an extent about what you said before this press conference, but what do you have to say about the people, say, comparing the event of last night to the NHL, saying, maybe the AHL version is better. I know you can't comment directly on that, but what makes you feel that people saying this about the event that transpired yesterday?
Yeah, well, ours is a traditional skills event, and I know the NHL is trying new things, and I applaud them for that. They tried a whole bunch of new things in Vegas last year, and they tried some things in Florida. And I don't know why they do that, or whether it's player-driven, league-driven, I don't know. I can just tell you that our players are engaged, and they got competitive last night, and when you see some of the Rocket players out there, I mean, they got a lot of pride, and they want to make sure that they're putting on a good show. So I just think it's a function of, all I can speak to is our players, and they were engaged, and they had lots of pride in their performance. And you know, sometimes you're not really sure how it's going to go, and then something happens, and they get really competitive. That's what I'm hoping for tonight, that something's going to happen, and the light's going to go on, and they're going to really compete hard, and I think the fans are part of that. Yes.
As media and fans, they embrace, you know, more statistics, analytics that are available in the NHL. What's your philosophy on making more statistics available publicly in the NHL?
Love to do it. We don't have the technology or the capability right now. I'm a big time on ice guy, and we don't do that right now. We did do time on ice for a while, but we didn't make it public. And what we found is that the statistic was really unreliable. So we scrapped that. So now, prior to my time, you know, the coaches used to get time on ice in between periods, both teams. And now it's up to the team to do it. If they want to do it, they can do it. But it's not league mandated. But I'd love to get to a place, and we've explored looking at how can we get reliable time on ice. Because I don't want to give you guys time on ice and you look at it and you say, oh, well, that's not true. What's going on there? I think time on ice is the next one that I'd like to focus on in terms of what we can do to get it public, but we're a ways yet because we haven't found the magic elixir yet. Patrick?
Do you foresee, you know, obviously some of the divisions aren't balanced. Do you foresee, I guess, two parts, some sort of realignment, number one, and number two, you're at 23 teams now for the playoffs, maybe getting an even number of teams, let's say 24, just to...
I don't think we'll go any more than 23 teams. I think we're at our max now, and it was really driven by the Pacific Division. They really felt like the old format was four teams per division, and that just didn't make sense to them. So I think and again, the concept, more games, more meaningful games at the end of the year for the prospects, I don't see us going above 23. As far as realignment goes, it's really a challenge in our league because the natural place to do realignment is to take some teams out of the West and put them in the Central. But the Central already has. They've got Manitoba and they've got Texas for travel costs. And then you're going to add it. So it's just not fair to the Central Division to try and place another team like a Colorado. And by the way, Colorado joined the league, and they joined the league to be in the Pacific Division, not the Central Division. So... There's no easy solution right now. I'm not saying it'll never happen. Ideally, you'd love to get to 8-8-8-8 and then have a really even playoff format, but it's not in the cards right now. Yes?
We're talking about growing the league, and even though there's budgetary reasons in everything with inflation, but I was looking at on the ice today. We've been here since 2017 now. It's been 6 years, but... there are some teams that we haven't come close to see on the ice. It was fun to see San Jose, Anderson, different jerseys on the ice.
Yeah.
I know to some degree there would be opportunity to diverge the calendar a little bit. Facing Hershey only twice a year, then facing Belleville 12 times. There's a lot of differences in that. Is there some way to diversify the calendar a little much?
I think that it's always possible, but I mean, it's really team driven as well as league driven. And what the teams want in our league is they want to play, Laval wants to play Belleville a lot of times. They want to play Toronto a lot of times. Hartford wants to play Springfield a lot of times. Bridgeport wants to play Providence a lot of times. We try and serve that. And then it does become a travel cost thing that the West is so prohibitively high travel costs that you just, you know, you can't force, I don't want to force teams to do that yet. And there's no appetite on the part of our teams to do that. I'd love for more variety. And I think we're slowly getting there. We're seeing some teams like San Diego next year, I think, is more inclined to play a few more games out of their conference, and some of the Central Division teams are. But it's a challenge. So it's not impossible. But right now, they really like the rivalry games. So and then once you pile in the rivalry games, then you still have to play the teams in your conference too. Yes?
You talked about it a little bit in your intro about the Calgary market, and obviously since they won the Calder Cup 20 years ago, it feels like they've been around 7 different cities. And I'm just curious, you talked about the stability. What do you think of the stability of the Wranglers now as they're in Calgary after they've moved so many times?
Well, I think we're still early in the process, but the feedback I'm getting from whether it's the hockey people or the business people, they're very, very happy. I know they're very happy to have the team in Calgary. I know it's really chaotic in their building with 3 teams at times trying to play out of there. And that means 6 teams coming in and out of there maybe in a week, and with the visiting teams too. So, but I think that it's really stable, and there's always pluses and minuses. And, you know, maybe there's a minus in terms of some travel for the team. They used to be in Stockton, so they maybe bust more, but now there's a plus because when they call a player up, there's no, it's seamless. And you can save, we all know you can save money on the cap if you manage to cap properly with recalls. So I think it's really early in the process, but the feedback I'm getting is all positive.
And just maybe as a follow-up to that, you look at the 7 Canadian NHL teams and 6 of them have their affiliates up in Canada. And I'm just curious, I know the Condors have been in Bakersfield for a little while. Have you gotten any feedback from perhaps the Oilers or any people there about the strength of that market in Bakersfield, and if there might be a future where it becomes 7 teams north of the border?
Not immediately, no. The Oilers are very content and happy in Bakersfield. Yes?
Can you tell us where do you see EHL in the span of 5 years?
Well, I think I'm hoping that it's just going to grow in terms of fan interest, branding, AHL TV or whatever streaming service we're going to use. I'm hoping that we're going to be stable and in the markets we're in the markets, and those markets are going to get better. That's what I'm hoping for in 5 years. And again, I think this league, I mean, we all know the history of this league. My predecessor was in this chair for 26 years and he saw hundreds of moves and NHL affiliate changes and whatever, and I'm just not expecting any of that in the immediate future. Sure, you know, things change. Could a team get sold at some point? Sure. But and then it would be up to the new owner what they want to do. But our teams are solid and really stable in their markets. Yes.
With the addition of Coachella Valley, of course, now you have 1 AHL team to 1 NHL team. But have any other cities or management groups been expressing any interest in expanding the AHL? And if so, would that happen without an NHL team making a subsequent move like that?
I've had a number of expressions of interest from a number of groups. On some of it is, yes, we can take a team now, and some of it is, we're building a building here and we want to know what we have to do to make sure we're AHL compliant. Are we in your geography? But the answer is the same to all of them. We're 32 and we like the 32-32 model. It's not changing, so we're not going to issue an expansion franchise. The only way we would issue expansion franchise is if the NHL does. Now, how to get a team now? So we're not going to expand unless the NHL does. So now you have to buy a team, and I've got a list of people that want to be contacted in the event that a team comes for sale. Yep.
In the past, with Dave, there's always fire 2 or 3 to put out at any given time. And then when you came in, there was the pandemic. Now that things are a little bit more stable, what kind of stamp would you like to put on the league? Compared to your own.
Well, I want to make sure that the hockey, the product, is really good and exciting and compelling, and we have a league that's operated with fairness and efficiency. So that's where it starts for me. And then it's just about growing our business and growing our markets and making sure our teams are doing as well as they can. I think we all have an obligation to grow the game. And as I talked about diversity and inclusion, I think That's really important for us because the demographics show that the whites are going to be a minority in 20 years or so. And how are we appealing to the underrepresented groups, the Spanish, BIPOC people, and how are we getting them to be fans of the game? So I think that's a really important initiative for me to make sure we're not only because it's the right thing to do, but it's good for business too. Yes.
You also talked about right off the hop about this weekend's events being on TSN and on the NHL Network. And can you talk about maybe your plans about getting more of the league on these traditional media platforms, maybe even this season and beyond?
We are completely focused on streaming right now. I don't see a national traditional national broadcast deal for the American Hockey League. It's not something we're pursuing. We do get on TSN. We do get on NHL Network. But that is really driven by if the games are being televised locally, and then those teams, the networks will pick up those games if there's an open window. So there's no appetite right now for any of those networks to try and bring the AHL in. What there is an appetite for is streaming, and everybody wants content. We've had an explosion of streaming services come on board in the last 5 or 10 years, and we are looking actively at that to see where our next opportunity is going to be. We're very happy and content with AHL TV. I don't know how many of you witnessed or saw the previous product that we had 5 years ago, but this is light years ahead of that product. And it's really one of the success stories of the AHL head office is AHL TV in terms of viewership, in terms of subscriptions, in terms of revenue. So we're delighted with that product, but we want to see what else is out there.
Do you have any specific figures for viewership that you can point to as an attesting to that going forward?
Well, I don't have the figures right in front of me. I won't share what the revenue is, but the revenue has gone up. I think revenue has gone up 230% in the last 4 years. So, yes.
Are you thinking about improving video reviews in the league?
Improving, do you mean having more video reviews?
Yeah.
At this time, we are not. It's always a topic of discussion. We had a competition committee meeting this morning, and video review comes up all the time. Could it expand in the future? Yes, nothing's going to happen this year. Mm-hmm. But it does create confusion. It creates confusion for our fans. It creates a little bit of confusion at times for our referees who go back and forth between the ECHL, the NHL, and the AHL. And I can tell you the biggest issue for the league office this year in video review is it just hasn't worked in some buildings. So the referee will come over and say, it's not connected. The internet's not working. So it's not available now. And then they come back a period later, say it's back on. So there have been a couple of instances where our referees have gone in and tried to look at it and it hasn't worked. And that's been frustrating for everybody. So, I think there is talk of in the future of maybe expanding it. We'll never get to what the NHL does in terms of offside because we won't have that technology. I'd be reluctant to go to goalie interference video review, but are there other things we can do? Probably yes. Yeah.
So I know a lot of people look at the AHL as a development place for players, but we are seeing increasingly a number of coaches really developing in the American Hockey League. Ryan Borsovsky, for one instance, winning Calder Cup last year, going right on up to the NHL. If you could just talk about the development process for these coaches and what it means to see the future, possibly Stanley Cup winners, coming from the AHL coaching.
Yeah, well, last year we had Jared Bednar, who became the first coach, I think, to win in the ECHL, the AHL, and the NHL. And I mean, the NHL head coaching landscape is just littered with former AHL coaches. I have tremendous amount of respect for coaching at the professional level, whatever sport it's in, particularly hockey, because that's what I know. And I've been up close and personal with it at the NHL level, at the AHL level. I think the AHL coaches have the toughest job in the world because you only control what you can control. In the NHL, you have more control because you're only susceptible to one team's injuries. And in the AHL, you're susceptible to injuries on your team. You're susceptible to injuries on the NHL team. So, your team can look great in January, and then it's a completely different team in February. So I think that teaches them a lot. It makes them think outside the box, and you have to find a different way to get to these players. So I don't think it's an accident that there's so many NHL, good NHL coaches that came through the AHL, because they had to learn here in very tough circumstances. And coaching comes at you every day. It's relentless. You wake up and something new's coming, and we're dealing with 20 to 30 year olds, and you've got that human element in there too, which we all know is very unpredictable. So it just comes at you, and there's pressure. Not as much pressure to win probably in the AHL as there is in the NHL, but these guys, they feel the pressure to win. And it's one of the things that drives our league, is that, you know, they want to win too. I talk a lot about to my counterparts at minor league baseball, and minor league baseball is a completely different animal, because they'll put a player in, okay, this player's going to double A and he's playing shortstop. I don't care if he hits 150, he's playing shortstop 6 times a week. And we don't do that. And the other thing, you got to earn your place more in hockey. And the other thing we do in the AHL and in hockey is the playoffs mean everything. And in minor league baseball, the season ends and then the playoffs are over in a week and everyone's going home. I'm not criticizing, that's their model, but we really value that 2-month grind of going through the Calder Cup and the players having to experience that. And so it's just a different, it's a different kettle of fish. Yes?
You briefly mentioned that you're getting support from the NHL for player discipline, and that, well, you have the final say on everything. What specifically are they supporting you on? Are they giving like a second opinion on those incidents?
Yeah, when we are reviewing something, we spoke to the NHL this summer and asked if we could use certain members of their player safety department. So our video review, as soon as we get a review, it goes out to 3 people. Haley sends it out to 3 people, and they all give her their opinion on what the discipline should be or not be. And then she makes the final decision. So that's how we're getting support from the NHL.
So those 3 people are people?
2 people are in the NHL and 1 person's in the AHL. And then Haley, we have the final decision.
Okay.
Because it's our league. But we just wanted to improve the process. And it makes it more streamlined, and you know, she gets the information right away, and she gets an opinion, and it gives her the ability. I mean, these people turn the opinion around in an hour, and have great resources in the NHL, and we'll give her some comparisons from the NHL, and then we have comparisons in our own league, and that just allows us to be more efficient, and just a better process. More input, I guess, is what you said. In the first year when we got the job, it was Haley and I sitting in my office trying to decide what we were going to do. And this gave us more input, more expertise, is what I would say to you. Yep.
Just, you know, looking behind you, there's Bell, there's Manulife, obviously major corporate partners. In the past, kind of, it's always been a B2B type deals. Is there any thought, you know, like you mentioned, growth, just really pursuing kind of those avenues of, you know, like you look at the ECHL, they have that, you know, Geico sponsors
the goalposts, yeah.
Like, things like that, like different areas of potential revenue enhancement.
Absolutely. I mean, we've talked about goalposts before. We haven't got there yet. And, you know, I guess we're a little more traditional maybe. And, you know, we had a really good and frank discussion about goalposts. But, you know, was it going to be this? Does it have to be the same in every building? And if it's not the same, does that affect what the shooter's seeing, and does it have to be red because they're going to go up to the NHL? And so we had all these issues. I don't think it's dead yet, but it was a very complicated issue, because you have some people that would be business oriented would say, it doesn't matter if it's red or blue or whatever, let's just get it up. And then there's the hockey people that say, yeah, it does matter to us. But national sponsorships, we've talked about that a lot in the last, particularly in the last 6 months, and trying to figure out a way to make that work. So yes, that's one avenue that's open that we're going to try and explore. Yep.
Been a lot of young guys in the league this year, a lot of teenagers, U20 players. Just wondering about, you know, what that, as you see that, and then, you know, there's obviously the CHL NHL agreement, You know, what can you as a league do? I mean, is there any wiggle room on that going forward? And then, you know, we're seeing so many of these European players get this opportunity to come in early. I mean, so is there anything else the league can do to create that environment for those young players?
Really, no, because the agreement's between the NHL and the CHL, and we respect that agreement. And I think that's now a long-term agreement. I think it's been a boon for our league to see with COVID, that was one of the offshoots, is we got some of these young players. I just talked to Tyson Forrester and Jean-Luc Foudy here this weekend. I said, you guys have been in our league for 2 years and you're 20 years old. This is your third year. It's unheard of in the American Hockey League. So it's one of the quirks. You draft a European that doesn't play in the CHL, David Juracek, Simon Nemec. I mean, think about that. We've got the second overall pick in the league and the sixth overall pick in the league. The sixth overall pick should have been here, but he got sick and couldn't make it to this event. But so it's just one of the quirks. And really, as a league, it's really out of our hands. And I respect the decision of what the NHL and the CHL does. Those players are really important to the CHL teams. They're their stars, and it would really hurt their business. I think a lot of NHL GMs would agree with you and say, you know, I'd rather have this kid playing in the AHL. But that's not something that we are consulted on or get involved in.
Okay.